You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Here we go.
What's up, y'all? How's it going, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day, and hump days mean that at 2:30, I'm going to be joined for Sounds Like Change, a very special guest today. It is my weekly segment with Emily's List. Today, we've got Christina Reynolds, the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. This could not be more timely, of course, because Donald Trump had, some sort of a woman's event today that broadcast. It was pre-recorded, but broadcast on Fox. And I think about 11 a.m. today, it was weird. Are you surprised? But it was weird. So we'll talk about that with Christina. Really excited to have that discussion, as well as our very special guest for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money today at 3 o'clock. We've got Jeff Clemens. He is the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan, which means multi-partisan organization, working to pass a constitutional amendment to take big money out of politics. Can we think of anything that may help our political system more than that? I mean, we can talk about ranked choice voting. We can talk about getting rid of the unfair electoral college, lots of things. But I think that from a reform perspective, universally, every single regular person knows that money in politics is bad. And we've got to figure out how to do something about that. So we're going to talk with Jeff about that today. I am really excited for that conversation. And folks, we are now 2 days out from the only Senate debate that will be had in this state between Tammy Baldwin and Eric the Carpetbagger, 100 millionaire, plus banker from California who likes to act like he's actually a Wisconsinite. That debate is going to be hosted by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation, which is fabulous. And Civic Media is going to have you covered. We're going to have pre-debate coverage. We'll broadcast the debate. That's this Friday, October 18th. You're not going to want to miss that. Also, just got word, if you listen frequently, you know that on Thursdays at 3:30, I'm usually joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley, who's the candidate for Congress out of the 8th Congressional District. I think she's going to be able to join us tomorrow. And if she can, you are not going to want to miss it, because she will likely have just gotten off the stage with Vice President Harris, which would be such a treat. Yes, Dr. Kristen Lierley appearing in Green Bay tomorrow with Vice President Harris. That is truly a treat. I'm so excited for Dr. Lierley, but also for the Green Bay community, that whole corridor of Wisconsin. I think it's great that the vice president and Governor Walz have spent so much time campaigning in Wisconsin, but especially in the more rural areas, not just in the Milwaukee and Madison Democratic strongholds. That is really essential, and I think it's the key to winning on November 5th. So Keep your eyes peeled. There may be some posts on social media ahead of that. If we can ensure that Dr. Latterly is going to be able to join us after appearing with the vice president. Again, you can find me and frankly, all of my stream of consciousness thinking on X. Sometimes I really do light my hair on fire and let it fly. If you go to X, you can find me at Maggie Dawn Show. I'm also on the Insta and Facebook. And every day you can watch me and our great team. Today we got Aaron with us running the board and taking your calls. You can always watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel and see all of my crazy facial expressions when we're listening to sound cuts together. This is why I do not play poker, folks. I'm just no good at it. But before we dive in, and I've got a couple of things planned for us today and also planned for my special guest host tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz, I'm going to focus probably a lot tomorrow on the Chicago Economic Forum meeting that Donald Trump attended yesterday. I spent, I'd say close to two and a half hours today listening and re-listening to that hour-long interview because there's so much incredible crud in there. There were about 19 major lies that I could detect. We'll talk about those tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll take some of that sound if we've got time today. But there's it's not just the lie itself. We know he lies. But as I've been suggesting to people, you really have to judge, like, how big of a lie is it, right? Like, how acutely wrong is the lie? Is the lie knowing? Like, is the information that proves that it's a lie readily available? Has it been discussed a lot? Is it a repetitive lie that they've been fact-checked repeatedly on? That's what I mean by acuteness. And then secondly, what is the impact of the lie? And when you start to look at what Donald Trump says, from not just is it false, which, again, candidates on both sides get fact check. But the fact check is the first step. Excuse me. The second and third steps are, if not as important, maybe even more important, because it is, again, the acuteness of the lie and the impact of the lie. And when you start to actually dig into Donald Trump's lies, and the Economic Forum interview is a prime example of this, you see that the acuteness and the impact of his lies outstrip any arguable falsehood by literally any Democrat running for office coast to coast right now. I mean, I'll challenge you on those metrics. Not only do you have to prove it's false to me, we got to look at what is the quality of the falsehood and what is its impact. Donald Trump is the purveyor of the most acutely, knowingly wrong, most impactful lies, frankly, in modern political history. And I want to focus in tomorrow with Tom Paulsiewicz on the economics of it. We're also going to be joined tomorrow by a very special guest from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin while Tom is co-hosting with me. We're going to talk about the youth vote. So all of that coming up tomorrow. But today, let's just jump in here. As a place setter for the discussion that we're going to have with Tom tomorrow, I wanted to make some observations about the fact that when you look at the well-being, health, and wealth of states, and you compare them, there is absolutely no debating the fact that red states, I mean states that are historically deep red, always controlled by Republican governors and Republican legislatures, it is always the case, almost universally, that states controlled by Republicans are less healthy and poorer than states that are purple or democratically controlled. And by this, I mean a Democrat as governor. And it's almost on every single conceivable metric. I want to tip my hat to Tom Hartman here. I do get his daily newsletter, and he did a piece about this. And I think to set the table for what we're going to the deeper dive that we're going to do on Trump's comments before the Economic Forum yesterday in Chicago with Tom Paulsowitz tomorrow on the show. I wanted to dig into some of these statistics because, listen, doesn't this say something about the viability of extreme conservative policies? In other words, do they actually produce the outcomes that conservative candidates and now the new Christian Nationalist Party keep telling folks that they're going to produce, which is middle-class families doing better, people being healthier and wealthier? Well, if that's true, then wouldn't a petri dish for that argument be to look at red and blue states and compare their health and wealth and see who fares better in general, right? And it is these generalities that I think matter. Of course, there will always be exception to the generalities, but when we analyze it, again, on almost every metric, we're going to talk about spousal abuse, smoking, teen pregnancy, homelessness, child poverty, the number of people on welfare, the number of parasitic infections. We're going to go through that. Would it surprise you to find out, again, that the red states struggle? So I want to go through that with you this half hour. And talk a bit about that. I also have some sounds that I would like to share with you. Of course, yesterday we talked about Trump's shocking fascist comments about the enemy from within and that he's going to dispatch the National Guard and the military to take care of the crazy radical left, including Adam Schiff. Well, guess what? Today in his women's town hall, he effectively doubled down on those statements. We'll listen to that. We'll compare them. I also have some fun sound for you all from Colin Allred's debate against Ted Cruz yesterday in Texas. It is a mic drop of mic drops. We're going to get to all of that this first half hour before, again, we bring on Christina Reynolds from Emily's List. So let's just start with the very brass tacks when we compare red and blue states. Blue states account for about 71% of America's gross domestic product. Just 71%. 7-1. That's first thing. The median family income in blue states is nearly $75,000, while in red states, it's $63,000. We'll continue to dig in. But I'll leave you with this last fact. And then I want to hear from you all, too, when we come back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Residents in blue states, yeah, we live 2.2 years longer than our fellow citizens, neighbors, and friends that live in red states. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves. This ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em. Lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus and throw your keys up. Stick around, round, 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 round. You always want to stick around for the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because we always have packed shows for you today, no exception. Going to be joined by Emily's List, Senior VP of Communications and Content, Christina Reynolds at the bottom of the hour, talking about Trump's weird, creepy, ew-inducing women's town hall conversation that broadcasts today on Fox. We got Jeff Clemens coming up on Maggie and the Millionaires, top of the hour today. He's the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment to get big money out of politics. Cannot wait for all that. But this segment, I'm talking to you about the fact that Donald Trump and Republicans will always tell you, because they have... No candidate can win if they say, well, I really don't care about the middle class. And my entire purpose here is to effectively help my billionaire and 100 millionaire friends hoard wealth and extract labor from the middle class. Like, no one's, let's just start there. No candidate is ever going to say that, okay? It's like no candidate ever runs, well, I'm soft on crime. No one says that because if you said it that way, you don't get elected. So if we understand that whatever the economic policy plans or the tax proposals are, the candidate always has to sell it as better for the middle class. And if that's true, you know, the differences between, say, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris's tax proposals, let's just take those for example, could not be any more different. Kamala Harris proposes raising income taxes on households with incomes of $400,000 or more. She proposes raising taxes even more for the wealthiest 1% of Americans. Donald Trump wants to cut taxes for those people. Now, he throws in what he calls a tax cut for the middle class, but which functionally isn't when you take all of his economic proposals together as a whole. Just go look up the Institute for Tax and Economic, ITEP, the Institute for Tax and Economic Policy, which is a nonpartisan organization, ITEP.org. Go check out their analysis. So they both can't be true, right? You can't have these totally different policy proposals that everybody says, yes, it's good for the middle class. Like one has to be true and one has to be less true, or arguably a big fat lie. That's what we talk about nearly every day on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money at 3 p.m. But you can look at the performance of red versus blue states and the data, and I don't care which data point you pick. People, the middle class and working people in states historically dominated by Republicans and Republican economic and tax policy do much, much worse on both a wellness, income, and wealth basis. They have lower literacy rates. They have higher homicide rates. They have higher infant and maternal mortality rates. They have higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases. Whatever it is. Like, they had more people die of COVID. But the question is, okay, so empirically we can look at this and blue states do better than red states on nearly every metric. What's going on here? Why would that be the case? If the policies that Republicans put in place in their states and that Republican national candidates run on are so good for the middle class, what's really going on? Well, fundamentally, when you look at Republican economic plans, they are always focused around ensuring that labor is cheap. And what does that mean? It means that wages are comparatively controlled and lower relative to what wages would be under Democratic governors and legislatures and presidents. Because when you artificially suppress wages, your profit margin gets larger, especially if you're running monopolies or near monopolies and price fixing and price gouging and pandemic profiteering. But the whole core of this is the idea that I should pay someone the absolute minimum, the lowest dollar that I can possibly pay them. And I should prevent them from organizing so that I can keep their wages low. That is the core of Republican economic policies. Everything else is secondary to that. Now, how do you effectively pull one over on working people if you're artificially suppressing their wages, right? And not paying people what they're worth and keeping their benefits low. How do you pull that fast one on the citizens of red states and Americans who continue to vote for Republican economic policies? Will you attack education at every level? You keep people fearful of education. You keep public schools under attack. You keep universities under attack. You try to defund public schools by making vouchers universally acceptable. And if that fails, the third brick in the Republican approach to the middle class is, when I suppress your wage and keep you working 2-3 jobs just to get by, and I strip your educational systems of the funding they need to ensure that even the poorest among us have access to the best education available in this country, the third thing you do is that, of course, you attack the integrity of any institution, of any individual, of any opposition, of anyone who speaks or dares to criticize and point out the utter fallacy, the failing nature of your economic and tax proposals. So let me summarize. You keep people working their butts off for wages lower than they should be, and you keep people from getting the education that they deserve, and then you make them distrust anyone who dares question that system, all the while exploiting their economic pain, the pain in their families, their inability to pay for housing and childcare and medication and healthcare, and you blame the other side for it the entire time. Three easy steps. We come back, we're going to be joined by Christina Reynolds, Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We're going to talk about the crazy women's town hall that Donald Trump had today. Yikes! That's all coming up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I was born by the river in a little tent, and just like the river, been running ever since.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome if you're just joining us. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I love it because when Wednesdays roll around, I know I'm going to get by with a little help from my friends. I've got Christina Reynolds of Emily's List here with me. We do a segment like this every Wednesday. We call it Sounds Like Change. And it's just so much fun. Thank you, Christina Reynolds, for being here yet again. She's the Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. I really enjoy our conversations. Thank you, Christina.
Me too. Happy to be back.
Well, we've got an event to talk about. It's one of many in a long line of odd, strange, cringe-inducing outreaches by Donald Trump and J.D. Vance to women. If you're unaware, folks, Donald Trump had a sit-down convo, quasi-town hall thing that broadcast today on Fox News. It aired here in Wisconsin time and Central time around 11 a.m. I got to watch some of it, not all of it, but Christina watched the thing in all of its florid glory. And we're going to talk about it today. Because I really think, you know, at the heart of this matter, and I spent the last half hour talking about the deception that many Republicans, but certainly Donald Trump, engage in on a near daily basis when it comes to the impact of their policy proposals on the middle class and working families. But there is this second leg of deception that happens on an almost daily basis. And that's the deception that Donald Trump and Eric Hovde and Derek Van Orten and Tony Weed and all of these men, especially in the Republican Party, are trying to get over, especially on women voters, about their stances on abortion and other reproductive health care freedoms. And they know this, that they have to lie, because if they actually stood by their positions, the polls tell them they would get their butts kicked. And at the very base, what we know is if Republicans take control of the Senate and the House of Representatives and the White House in the form of President Trump, they will pass a national abortion ban. So you tuned in, you watched the, I'm going to put air quotes if you're watching us on YouTube, air quotes around town hall this morning. Tell us some of your initial reactions. What were some of your thoughts? What jumped out?
Yeah. So I unfortunately watch a lot of Trump events, and they are confusing and they are rambly and they are hot messes. They do not offer a lot of policy. In a few occasions, and this was a crowd of Trump supporters, let's be clear. These were not undecided voters. These were Trump supporters. But they did ask, you know, what is your specific plan to deal with this issue or that issue? And he, for example, responded to his specific plan to deal with hurricanes and the damage in Florida and North Carolina and Georgia with praising Elon Musk for his Starlinks. And then wasn't it great that Elon Musk came to his rally in Pennsylvania? So I'm not going to ramble the way he did about the different answers. I want to get down to one answer in particular, which is at the very end, there were two questions, one on abortion. And the woman asked very clearly, why should government, you know, basically, why should government get to decide? And one on IVF. And what is your plan on IVF? And Donald Trump said, and I quote, "I am the father of IVF." Now, that is not true. He had nothing to do with creating.
Wait, Christine, you're telling me that Donald Trump did not invent in vitro fertilization?
It's shocking. Maggie, I'm also here to tell you that he lied. And I know that will also shock you.
My goodness.
who knew? What he did throughout this answer, and, you know, it would be a hot mess if you transcribed it, but what he did was wrongly claim that he just wanted the states to get to decide and people should get to decide on their own. And if a state voted for something, then great and we'll be fine. And what I'm here to tell you is that answer, much like what J.D. Vance is trying to sell, much like, to your point, Eric Hovde is trying to sell, much like what all of these Republicans are trying to sell, and they've been given talking points and they've been told how to get around it, it is a lie. They are trying to rebrand their position. They're even trying to rebrand abortion bans. When they say we're going to have national minimum standards, what that means is we're going to tell states that have said that, you know, that abortion care is protected, that IVF is protected, that reproductive freedom in general is protected, that we're going to decide up to which point it is protected. That's a ban. When they call it a national minimum standard, do not be fooled. They are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you. Not even in the states where voters have gone and said, nope, we support this right and we want you to leave it alone. So that's what we saw, in addition to him saying he was the father of IVF, which is something. And I, you know, I suggest go back and watch it. But that's what they're trying to do. And it's cynical and it's terrible. We know the impact that these abortion bans have. But I want us all to know what they're doing so that we can make sure we're not fooled by it, that we can make sure that we're pushing back on it, because this is a position, you know, you said this very well earlier, Maggie, they know they would lose if voters actually understood their position.
Yeah, it's one of the things, and I tell people this in various forms, if they're running for elected office, like, know what your three things are. And I don't mean your three positions. I don't mean what you want to do about this issue, this issue, this issue, this issue. Know your three things, the three things that make you want to serve others, these fundamental, the fire in your belly. And one of the things that has always been a fire in my belly, it's why I became a lawyer, is that I hated it when people lied. I still hate it. The cynicism and the, frankly, the implicit assumption that women are stupid. I mean, because that's what that is. When you keep we'll call it national standards. No, you mean you have to comply with our national standard ban of abortion. Like, that. How dumb do they think women are? And Aaron, if you could pull up what I have marked as cut N from the Economic Forum yesterday, Christina, to this exact point, Donald Trump addressed, he wasn't asked a question about abortion directly because it was the Economic Forum, but he sure took credit for appointing all of the justices that overturned Roe v. Wade, and he promised he would do it again. Let's take a listen. This is cut on, Aaron, from yesterday at the Chicago Economic Forum. Donald Trump, in his own words, here's who to thank for the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
And somebody said, would you come up with a list of 20 or 25 justices, in this case, mostly judges, that you'd put in case it were necessary. Now, it's amazing because I got 3 in 4 years. Most people get none because, you know, you put them in, they're young. You tend to put them in young. Only stupid people put old. You know, you don't put old in because they're there for 2 years or 3 years.
I got three.
A lot of presidents get none. I got 3. And I think they've been 3 great choices, too, by the way. But I think they have been really great choices. But I got 3 judges, and you know what they want to do? They want to now put up up to 25 justices into the Supreme Court, the radical left, and that can't happen. So I think I've done a great job in putting in justices and 300 judges, and that made a tremendous difference in the country.
That, ladies and gentlemen, that is Donald Trump saying that the 3 justices that shifted and created the majority by which Roe v. Wade was overturned, he did that. I got the 3 justices. Most presidents get 0. And in his own language, I put 300 judges in the other courts, and that has made a tremendous difference in this country. You can vote just on the idea of civil rights in this election, because if Donald Trump is given the opportunity, there will be a couple more vacancies, at least on the Supreme Court, in these next 4 years. You want to see your rights even more eroded? Go ahead and roll the dice with another Trump administration.
And let's not discount those other judges. I mean, you know, it was a judge in Texas who decided that Kate Cox couldn't have an abortion that she needed to protect her fertility. There are judges around the country that send these cases up to the Supreme Court. And so this all matters. But to your broader point, Maggie, be very clear. Donald Trump takes credit for overturning Roe. And this is the rare case where I will say Donald Trump is right. He deserves the credit, right? He got us here. And that is why IVF is in jeopardy. That is why birth control is in jeopardy. That is why you can have bans that have no exceptions. You can have bans that don't care about, a woman's life. That's how we get here. Donald Trump did it. And so all of the things, and by the way, he has said what's happening in the states, it's a beautiful thing that it went back to the states. And when you look at what the states are doing, it's not a beautiful thing.
No, women are dying. I mean, exactly. Point blank. And we know that since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, there are more abortions, not less. I mean, if you actually, from a policy argument, want to say that abortion is a bad outcome, then this is not the way to go about making sure that there are fewer abortions. The very thing that you wish to see in the world, arguably, for those that are conservative and on the right, fewer abortions. No. This does not do that. Since Donald Trump was president in his 4 years, more abortions than during other Democratic presidencies. All of this, and again, you were talking about the rebranding before, and we've seen this not just with Donald Trump, but Eric Hovde, for example, he keeps trying to rebrand. Tell us a little bit about what's happening here in these Wisconsin races, this same basically line of garbage that's being fed to women as if we're stupid here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I know there's a debate, I believe, this Friday with Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. And you're going to hear him sell something probably very similar to what Trump did, right? It's fine, no national ban, don't worry about it. But we know his real record. He supported overturning Roe v. Wade. He doubled down on supporting the Dobbs decision later. He has said that he is totally opposed to abortion. And at one point he said that he opposes legalized abortion from conception. I want you to think about that. From the moment, from before people even know they are pregnant, no abortion. That is a total abortion ban that Eric Hovde has supported. Do not believe that, believe that he can read a poll. believe that he knows that he's got a problem with women voters, especially, but a problem with voters writ large because of this position, but do not believe what he's going to try and sell you when it comes to that debate, because he will not stand up for our rights. And listen for those code words, right? Listen for national minimum standards. Listen to sometimes what they try and say is, oh, a national ban couldn't pass. And I'm going to tell you, because I worked for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and I watched focus groups and people supported Roe then. They supported abortion rights. But we would say, well, Donald Trump says he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. And they would say, oh, it can't happen. Mm-hmm. Don't trust the it can't happen as an answer. What we need to know is, will you protect my rights or not? And Eric Hovde's record tells us the truth, which is that he will not.
I would have said if I was in a focus group that it never could happen that an armed group of right-wing, sure, neo-fascist, anti-Semite, misogynistic racist could cease the counting of electoral votes and stop the peaceful transition of power in this country. But that's exactly what happened. You can't believe the rebrand. You got to believe what they've said all along. We're going to come back with Christina Reynolds, Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. We're going to talk about not just that they're lying about abortion, but whether or not abortion is driving voters to the ballot box this November. All coming up next here on The Maggie Dawn Show on this special episode of Sounds Like Change with Emily's List on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. When it's Wednesday between the hours of 2:30 and 3, we call this special segment Sounds Like Change, and I'm joined each week by a very important leader and thinker from Emily's List to talk about the impact that women and pro-choice women are having both as voters and as candidates, because it is time for a change. I'm going to share with you, Christina, I've been talking about for a little while on the show, the fact that we need to not just fact check a candidate or identify something as a lie, but that we need to also address the acuity of the lie. How big of a fat lie is it? Is it a knowing lie? Has it been fact checked numerous times? Is it just a huge whopper? Do they have decades of recorded statements to the contrary, as we're talking about here, as well as the impact of the lie? I'm going to give you this rubric, everybody, because it is a helpful little acronym. The acronym is LIAR. So how do you test the lie? You have to test its impact and its acuity. And that is the rubric, L-I-A-R. It is the LIAR rubric. It's not just if it's a lie, it's its impact and acuity. That is the rubric. And here, when we talk about the lies being told to women as if we're stupid, the impact is literally life and death. And voters are getting motivated, Christina, about abortion and reproductive freedoms. Are they not? This is driving folks to the polls.
Absolutely, it is. We are seeing, and you know, just this week, Kaiser Family Foundation came out with a poll that showed that support abortion being the number one driving issue for young women that's doubled almost in the last few months. Now it is the number one issue for 40% of young women, and it's going to drive them out to vote, which is huge. We've seen this in our polling from Emily's List, the number one issue for women of every demographic across the board is abortion. People understand what this means. It is about your rights. It is about what freedom you have. It is about who gets to decide your life. And I think Republicans, you know, at the end of the day, they're doing themselves a disservice as well. But they do women a disservice when they assume that we don't get that. When yes. they think that that we don't understand what's underlying here, that it's not, you know, it's not the moment. I mean, it certainly there is a tremendous impact on individual lives, who people who need abortion care or want to get abortion care and can't get it. But even for people who don't need it, they understand what it means. What it means is that Republicans believe they should get to decide for you, and they don't like it.
It's that simple. I want to share with you a little sound from Trump's discussion of how to deal with the enemy from within. Aaron, this is going to be cut number two. And then I want to share you his comments from today's town hall. So we're going to start with cut number two. This is from one of the weekend shows, putting together two of his most recent comments. Aaron?
Kamala Harris is warning voters about a new phrase Donald Trump has been using to describe some of his fellow Americans.
It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with that hate our country. That's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
The enemy within. Trump used the phrase again in an interview with Fox News yesterday when he was asked whether he expects chaos on Election Day from outside agitators.
I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country. The towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of Election Day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. It should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
And he echoed those comments again today during the town hall. Let's listen to cut one.
President, Kamala Harris has said you sounded unhinged and unchecked power is in our future. What do you
say
about
that? I thought
it
was a nice presentation. I wasn't unhinged. No, you know what they are? They're a party of sound bites. Somebody asked me, can they be brought together? You know, I never thought really I wasn't thinking like they could, because they're very, very different. And it is the enemy from within, and they're very dangerous. They're Marxists and communists and fascists.
Aaron, if you can just wrap that up. You know, pro-choice women, we're apparently the enemy from within, aren't we, Christina?
Apparently. Let's be clear what he's trying to do. And we should note that Kamala Harris, you know, she was in Wisconsin doing an event with Liz Cheney. Kamala Harris has been reaching out to everybody.
Yes.
She knows she's not going to get everybody's vote, but she wants to show that she will be a president for all Americans. She talks about that. Donald Trump is trying to divide people. He is, it's straight out of a dictator's playbook, right? You want to be in this tight little group and we want to demonize everyone else. And that's a dangerous position for people who are not like Donald Trump, who are not rich old white men, who do not fall in his categories. Your rights will not be protected, your freedom will not be protected, and he views you as troubling and is trying to get you not to vote. So let's do better. Let's show him he's wrong.
Yeah, the sisterhood can not only save our civil rights, but can also save democracy from a wannabe dictator like that small-handed man and small-minded man that we also know as the MAGA cult leader. Thank you so much to Christina Reynolds, Senior Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. She joined me for this week's episode of Sounds Like Change. Emily's List will be back with me next week. Coming up next, I got Jeff Clements, the CEO of American Promise, a cross-partisan organization working to pass a constitutional amendment to take big money out of politics. He's next on Maggie and the Millionaire Talking Money.
Tell me something good.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.